Coming on Minnesota Public Radio is supported by the Walker Art Center's exhibition, Herzog and Demureau, In Process, a look at the work of the Swiss architectural firm selected to design the Walker's expansion.
Good morning. Welcome to Mid-Morning. I'm Catherine Lanfer. The long, strange presidential campaign continues. Election workers are recounting votes in Florida, and the Secretary of State says she hopes to declare a winner in the state, and thus the winner of the presidency, by the end of the business day today. But will that be the end of it? There are hints of possible lawsuits, allegations of voter fraud, demands in some Florida counties for a whole new election. No wonder one Gore supporter announced that we have just reached the twilight zone of American politics. Well, many folks went through a twilight zone on election night hoping to stay up and see who won. We know that Susan McManus, a professor of political science at the University of South Florida, was one of those. She joins us again by phone. Professor McManus, I hope you got a little sleep. Oh, looks like we've lost her. That's all right. We're going to go ahead and try to get her back on the line. Meanwhile, we would like to turn to you and ask you some questions. We know that the recount has shown that Vice President Gore is picking up some votes and that Governor George W. Bush is still in the lead. We'd like to know what you expect of these recount results. What do you think of some of the stories that you've heard of irregularities? What impact is this going to have on the country? It's 1-800-242-2828, 1-800-242-2828 in the Twin Cities. It's 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. We're going to try Professor McManus again. Are you with us, Professor?
Yes, I am.
Well, how very good to hear that. And first, the first thing I want to know is, did you get some sleep?
I got about 5 hours in the last 2 days.
Okay. All right. Now, the latest, and I'm saying the latest, I'm looking up at a monitor of CNN. It looks like with the recount, George W. Bush has gained 346 votes. Vice President Gore has gained 1,189 votes, making the difference between them, let's see, it's hard to do the math while you're looking at a TV monitor.
That's true.
But it looks like Governor Bush has some 1,200 more votes this morning.
Right.
Now, exactly what and where are they recounting?
The big counties have been recounted already. For example, the big areas in South Florida, Miami-Dade, Broward, Palm Beach, Hillsborough, which is the Tampa area. I believe Orange County's also been counted. These are the big counties where there would be likely to be the most vote swings,
mm-hmm.
and likely to be the most vote swings because of the volume of ballots and the feeding it through the machine where you can have some kind of slight, you know, error, cards stick together or whatever. So the remainder of the counties that aren't in, my guess is a lot of those are your smaller counties that have to do it more the old-fashioned way. And most of those counties, especially in the panhandle, voted pretty heavily for George W.
Now, the recount results are expected to be released close to 5 p.m., I understand it.
Right. I think at 5 p.m. they're supposed to be in, and perhaps there's some kind of press conference at 6 or whatever, but the National Press Corps is swarmed on Tallahassee like you haven't seen in years.
Now, one thing that is confusing is they keep talking about releasing a tally at 5, but my understanding is there are absentee ballots coming in, including absentee ballots from overseas, and as long as they're postmarked on election day, well, they could take up to another week to
get
there.
Right, they can. Excuse me. Those are due on the 17th, because under Florida law, as long as an overseas ballot is postmarked on election day, the supervisors have up to 10 days to count that ballot. So there will be coming in. The big question mark is how many are there? I've heard all kinds of estimates. You know, these days in Florida, everybody's throwing up numbers, but roughly in the neighborhood, anywhere from, you know, 2,300 to, you know, 8,000. It's probably somewhere in between
now,
there.
And that's just the overseas absentee ballots.
The other absentee ballots have all been counted.
Okay. All yeah. right. Now, but if we're still waiting on these other ballots, how can they announce a winner today when we don't have all the votes in?
Well,
especially
think,
in this election.
I think it's going to be difficult if, in fact, they do not have, if the gap is less than the number of these ballots coming in. But they probably won't certify those ballots until they come in, but they'll probably certify what we have at the moment today.
Oh, no, I'm going to stop you. What do you mean by certify?
We have in Florida a system of canvassing boards where each county has an official counting body, which is made up of various elected officials, judges, et cetera. And each county, when they do the recount, must certify the results as being the official tally. And that's what you'll be seeing today.
So, in other words, they really won't be declaring a winner today. It will simply be, we certified these votes today, and here's the tally. You have to wait another week.
Well, I don't know what the Secretary of State is going to do, but let me assure you and the nation that every lawyer in God's earth is down here on this issue. And so, everyone is carefully looking over this whole question, because the last thing that any Floridian, Democrat or Republican, wants to happen is for there to be some question about the sanctity of the ballot.
Well, that reminds me, Warren Christopher and James Baker, two former secretaries of state, are both down in Florida. What exactly are they doing down there?
They're representing their candidates and overseeing it. Again, just one more safeguard and one more safeguard to project the image, and not image, but project the actuality of it being a fair and impartial counting process.
All right. Now, if you're not in Florida, if you're elsewhere in the country, you have heard by now of the irregularities voters have been complaining about in Palm Beach County with their ballot there. What happened?
Palm Beach County, like many counties across the country, not just in Florida, use what's called a punch card balloting system. And it requires you using a stylus, a little punch-like thing, a sharp instrument that you punch a hole into the person, where you want to vote for on a card. And for, a number of people have written about it, including myself in a book called Targeting Senior Voters, that sometimes these punch card systems are not user-friendly for older voters because they sometimes don't really get in there tightly enough, or the stylus slips or whatever.
Well,
and
I've actually heard
most people are expecting that this is more of a problem of layout and style than any kind of fraud.
I've heard middle-aged voters complaining
about this. Absolutely. I wasn't going to say that, but I'm one of those. And, yes, I voted absentee, and I really had to be careful to make sure that I punched the right hole.
Well, now, the Miami Herald had a very interesting editorial this morning in which they basically said, how can it be that a presidential election could be decided because of a badly designed ballot in a single county in the United States?
That's a good question, a question of the hour, no doubt. It's just a huge, hugely important consideration. And, the good news for Florida and the nation is the fact that the supervisor of elections, the person in charge of that ballot in Palm Beach County, is a Democrat. And a Democratic attorney general stood side by side with the Republican governor and pledged to the fact that they would try to get to the bottom of any irregularities, and would are both very confident that the right thing will be done.
Now, of course, there's some concern that Buchanan got votes that should have gone to Al Gore in Palm Beach County on Election Day. What do we know about that at this point?
Well, again, much of it goes back to this punch card type of voting system, where if you don't really follow carefully, and you have a crowded ballot like Palm Beach County certainly did on Election Day, and you don't really, really carefully look at the directional arrows that point which hole to punch. I mean, it's possible to make a mistake. But,
well, what I'm eventually driving to here,
okay,
is the Republican, one of the Republican officials for Palm Beach County, cautioned against people getting too upset about that. He said that Palm Beach was perhaps the third, I think it was the third largest city to had the third largest number of votes for Buchanan in the last election.
Right. I think we everybody's got to sit down and look at these things very carefully. And it really is hard to, unless there's really fraud and intent, I think it's a very difficult thing to really prove that there was malice in this situation. And it really, the good news in some ways, there's silver lining in everything, is that this should call attention nationally, not just in Florida, to some of the shortcomings of this kind of balloting system, the punch card system, and encourage more and more counties to move to an optical scanning system, which seems to avoid a lot of those problems.
Well, now, here's another question, and I suspect that this goes beyond Florida, but in a world where we have email and gigabytes can cross the world in nanoseconds, what are we doing voting on paper?
A question of the hour, and certainly my students would concur this is craziness.
But why do you think it is?
Well, one of the reasons is for not moving faster into more of an electronic voting system is, particularly internet voting, is still concerns over the safeguarding of the ballot. And
isn't that ironic, given what's going on right now?
Oh, it is, definitely. And let me tell you, on election night, these poor election officials in Florida, think of the pressure. Not only were they getting volumes of ballots, so we had a huge turnout, but they also got volumes of absentee ballots. We had over 500,000 people vote absentee, and they can't open those officially until the polls close. So many of these big counties had thousands, you know, 50 or 60,000 absentee ballots to open, try to count everything else, and then be facing that extreme pressure of the national networks and the state and everybody else wanting the numbers to certify because everything hangs on Florida. It was a stressful night, to put it mildly.
What are the possibilities of lawsuits deciding this presidential election?
Well, I understand, and I really haven't seen verification, but just from what other reporters have called me this morning have told me, I think there have been a couple filed. I don't know the nature of them, and I certainly don't know the legal angles of it, not being an attorney. But, you know, if naturally, you have big, you know, the top-of-the-line attorneys in here in the state watching this for both parties.
We're going to go to Margo in Minneapolis. Margo, welcome to Mid-Morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I just want to cheer on those election officials in Florida, first of all. I was an election judge in Minneapolis on day before yesterday, and I really, I know that when you're an election judge, no matter how good you are at details, and I'm a very detail-oriented person, there's things that slip through, and I just wanted to make the comment that if there's some lawsuit against the people in Palm Beach, it's going to go back and forth either way because, you know, there's both ways. There's things that people see that, ooh, what did that happen or whatever, and just wondering, you know, if there is some sort of lawsuit against Palm Beach or Revote, you're going to have election judges like me saying, well, I think that there are a lot of people. I found out afterwards that there were people standing outside the polls saying vote for Gore in Minneapolis at a number of polls and campaigning, right, even on the premises. And, you know, it does, you know, I'm glad people came out and voted. It was wonderful. I just kept thanking people for coming. But there were mistakes both ways, and I think that's a really viable thing to look at. I think it's important to realize that, you know, people are people, and, yeah, we're getting to the systems where they're more electronic. We had the electronic optical scanner, and we still had some people who had party crossovers, and one person even said, oh, just let it go. An old elderly person just said, let it go through.
Okay. Thanks, Marco.
You're welcome.
We'll go to Audrey in Minneapolis. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to comment that I felt that if ever an argument was to be made to get rid of the Electoral College in this day and age, I think we have it right here and now. Because in modern history, in the modern times, this has never happened before. It's never been a question. But I think this is going to be one for, obviously, is one for the history books. But I think here in Florida, mistakes were definitely made, as the other caller alluded to. And the popular vote, no matter what happens with those 1,700 votes or the 3,000 votes or even 19,000 spoiled ballots, that Gore actually did win the popular vote. And Florida's Electoral College, from my understanding, is not beholden to any law to vote with the majority vote in Florida. Wouldn't it be better for them to, at this point, look at the situation and say, even if these 3,000 votes went one way or another, it made no difference and Al Gore won the popular vote. So the right thing to do would be to go with the popular vote.
Well, let's turn to Susan McManus again.
Well, the popular vote in Florida has, at least at this point, is for Bush. And so the Electoral College vote of Florida would represent that.
But she's saying because the electors aren't necessarily held by law to follow that popular vote, if they looked at the popular vote of the nation, because the way things are going now.
But people, the electors represent the people of the state, and not the people of the nation. And so, you know, that argument really isn't viable.
Well, except for the fact that there has been such a thing as a faithless elector in the past.
Very, very few. And, you know, these people, when they're selected as electors, they give a pledge to the party that they will uphold. You know, if their candidate gets elected, that they will, it's winner take all, that they will vote for their nominee in the Electoral College.
Now, what did you make of Al Gore's statement yesterday, especially the part where he talked about the Electoral College will prevail? What was he trying to accomplish there?
Well, I'm not going to try to put words into the vice president's mouth, but I think he is a man of integrity and believes he's a lawyer by training and believes in the Constitution as he affirmed. And I think he meant just exactly what he said.
We're going to go to Jim in St. Paul. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Hi. I have two questions. One is regarding the overseas ballots. I had heard a person call in on a talk show yesterday that a large percentage of them were in Israel. Is there any way that we know that is true? And is there any discussion about that they may go more for Lieberman than for Lieberman and Gore rather than Bush and Cheney? The other question I have is regarding the ballot in West Palm Beach. Was that more confusing than other ballots in Florida, or is it the same and it's just the one area where there's a lot of people complaining?
Good questions. To answer the first one, there are more overseas ballots coming from military personnel across the world than from Israel, even though that is a sizable portion, but not a very large portion of the overseas balloting. Florida has long time been a state of choice for many military personnel as their state of permanent residency, in large part because we have a lot of bases here, but more importantly, we don't have an income tax.
Now, there are those who are suggesting that the fact that so many absentee ballots are coming from military personnel, that they're going to be Republican. But there have been other commentators who have said yes, but an overwhelming number of the military are members of minorities, and they tend to vote Democratic. So is it possible to really cast a profile on what these votes are going to be?
Well, and if we use as past historical patterns, that vote has leaned Republican.
Mm-hmm. Should Gore have waived the recount in Florida?
I think that's Vice President Gore's determination. I wouldn't want to read into it one way or the other.
Well, now, Professor, I'm just asking you, as you know, pretend we're here
right.
In the classroom.
Right.
I'm not asking you to assign anything to the vice president. I'm just
right.
saying, was that a choice of his? And what would have happened if he had done that? And would it have been better for the nation?
Well, it couldn't have happened for one very basic reason. Under Florida law, recounts are mandatory if the election is within 0.05, half of 1%. By law, there must be a mandatory recount in Florida. So it would have happened regardless of what the vice president wanted.
Let's go to David in Coon Rapids. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, looking at a map on one of the papers this morning showing the state of Florida, and it shows red for Bush and blue for Gore, it shows in the panhandle almost completely for Bush. The governor of Florida last night pointed out that when the networks declared the state for Gore, the people in that area were still voting. I'm just wondering how many people who might have voted for Bush went home in the panhandle when they heard that.
Well, that's certainly been a bone of contention, I can tell you. All the talk call-in shows in Florida, people have been complaining vehemently about the exit poll and results being used too early to call when people were still in line in Florida.
And do you think that will have any sort of impact on how the press uses exit polls, how presidential elections are covered?
The whole methodology of exit polls was flawed in the case of Florida, and that was one of the reasons the projections were so off.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of polling, and I was working in the station, and when I saw the exit poll, I took one look at it, and I said, this is not right, because they had, for example, only 20% of the electorate being 65 or older, and I know for a fact that it's around one-third. So that figure alone said, you know, clued me in something was wrong. And what had happened in Florida was this 600,000 absentee ballots. We've never in the history of our state had that magnitude of voting by absentee. And so it skewed the sample. So the sample that was used to do the exit poll in Florida was flawed because it had no way of accounting for all those absentee voters.
Now, why do you think that there were so many absentee ballots this time?
Both parties made it a centerpiece, the absentee ballot, a centerpiece of their get-out-the-vote efforts. Both parties sent out mail-outs that made it very easy for you to ask for an absentee ballot. All you had to do was tear it off an already addressed postcard, and it stressed the fact voting in the convenience of your home when you have time to do it, and it's very appealing to a lot of seniors who don't want to go to a crowded polling place,
mm-hmm.
not just seniors, but particularly seniors, though.
Yes.
And they can take longer and look at, you know, voter guides and make a, it's just easier. It's just a much more convenient way of doing it, and both parties in their literature stressed that was one of the advantages. And in a state like ours where you have a very mobile population because a lot of people, you know, have jobs that take them all over, they, too, use the absentee ballot quite extensively.
You mentioned that you were doing polling. Where were you doing polling on election night?
I was not. I do polling it myself, as
mm-hmm.
you know, polling for various counties in Florida when they want to tap into citizen opinions.
Mm-hmm.
I do what are called citizen satisfaction surveys where, you know, local governments use that as a benchmark of how well they're serving their public and collecting garbage or library hours, things of that nature.
So, but because you've done that, you had the expertise to pick something up election night and say...
Right, and say, this is not right. And also in that first, just as another example, no-brainer, the exit poll had 0 as a percentage of people who are Cuban Americans in Florida. Now, that was ridiculous.
Now, you're right. Some of that does sound pretty basic. Why do you think no one else picked up on this?
You know, election night frenzy and the stress, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, everybody is tired even before it starts. I mean, I agree with the comment you made earlier about human errors, just the woman caller made, that human errors just sometimes seep into it. It's not intentional. It's just one of those, you know, facts that no one's perfect.
And what is going to happen if we have a legal challenge from Al Gore to this election result?
I really don't know. It, certainly, if we do have one, it will tie it up for a lot longer, and America will be left in limbo, and we're not used to that. You know, Americans are used to a quick exchange of power and a smooth transition, and this may be the election that you know, breaks that pattern.
I was just going to say we have a wire report here. Attorney General Janet Reno has said that she'll review a request for an investigation into allegations of voting irregularities in the presidential election in Florida. And this apparently was a request from the NAACP. So, you know, Al Gore actually doesn't even have to lift a finger. There are so many people who want to challenge what happened here.
That's right. And this is, a, you know, precedent setting in America, and everyone is confused, and no one has the clear answer. And it's that's one of the most frustrating things of all.
Let's go to Bill in Minneapolis. Bill, welcome to Mid-Morning.
Thank you.
Hi.
First a comment and then a question. What I don't understand about the balloting process used in Florida is it would seem to me that throughout all counties in Florida that there should be a uniform ballot layout for the presidential candidates and any other statewide races. In other words, if you've got variances in local races, they would basically be put at the end of the ballot, and so that everybody sees the same ballot when it comes to voting for presidential candidates. My question is, if it turns out that the ballot layout in Palm Beach County was sufficiently confusing to significant numbers of voters, it shouldn't be a matter of malice or fraud, but because the entire election of the United States presidency hangs in this particular county in these 19,000 votes. So therefore, the Secretary of State should reformat the ballot for that county, and basically they should have a special election in Palm Beach County, and then at that point they can tabulate those ballots with the absentee ballots and the other ballots, and we can determine who the winner of Florida is and who the president is.
Professor McManus?
The first point that he raised about the balloting system, let me clarify that there are around four or five different balloting systems in this state. Smaller counties cannot afford the kind of system even the punch card system. Many of them use types of systems that are less expensive. I mean, some of our counties in the Panhandle have fewer than 10,000 residents, and for them to have to use a multi-million dollar system, we've never had a state law that requires that. Each county can determine which voting system they choose to use. So we have quite a mixture in the state to begin with. And to the second question about the re-voting, that's a very interesting question and certainly one that a lot of people are looking at, and it's going to be, I don't know what the resolution of that will be, but what might happen is then if you have a demand for a re-vote in Palm Beach County, we're already seeing calls from all over the rest of the state and country on, you know, similar problems and concerns in other places. At what point does it stop? Do we just start over and have the whole election? It's just one of these things that's right now we're in a very muddled state, and we just don't know legally what's going to happen.
We're talking to Susan McManus. She's a professor of political science at the University of South Florida. We're talking to her, of course, about the recount in Florida that will determine the presidential election. We'd like to have your insights and questions. 1-800-242-2828 in the Twin Cities, 651-227-6000. I'm Catherine Lanfer. You're listening to Mid-Morning. We're going to turn now to Stephen John. He's standing by with the latest from the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom.
Good morning, Catherine. The government reports a sharper-than-expected rise in inflation at the wholesale level because of rising natural gas prices and food costs. The producer price index, measuring inflation pressures before they reach the consumer, rose 0.4% in October. Oregon still hasn't declared a winner in the presidential contest because of delays in counting thousands of late returns from the state's vote-by-mail system. But the Oregon Secretary of State still calls the system a success because it boosted turnout above 80%. Minnesota Secretary of State Mary Kiffmeyer says the sloppy weather might have hurt voter turnout, but it was still pretty decent. She says nearly 69% of Minnesota's voting age population turned out for Tuesday's election. Some 2.43 million Minnesotans cast their votes this year. Democrats are expected to ask for a recount in southwestern Minnesota's 2nd District congressional race. Unofficial returns show incumbent Democrat David Mingy lost by fewer than 500 votes to Republican challenger Mark Kennedy. Rod Graham says he refused to concede the Senate election to his DFL opponent until all the votes had been counted because he's been behind in the returns before. But by the time morning came, it was clear that he had been defeated. Graham later called Mark Dayton to wish him well and offer to help out in the transition. Officials at North Memorial Medical Center in Robbinsdale say the North Dakota boy, whose arms were severed in a farm accident, is scheduled to be released tomorrow. 3-year-old Parker Siebens was flown to the hospital after an accident with a grain auger on his father's farm in September. The forecast is calling for mostly cloudy conditions today. A few flurries, highs from the mid-20s to mid-30s. There's a chance of light snow in the northwest tonight, with lows from the mid-teens in the west to near 30 in the southeast. Continued cool tomorrow with highs in the 30s. Right now in International Falls, 28 degrees. It's 27 in St. Cloud and 28 in Rochester. The Twin Cities has a cloudy 29 degrees. That's news from Minnesota Public Radio.
Programming is supported in part by members of Minnesota Public Radio's Leadership Circle. For information, call 800-227-2811.
Programming on Minnesota Public Radio is supported by Northwest Airlines, offering service to more than 120 countries worldwide with Northwest Airlines and their global travel partners.
60 years ago, on Armistice Day, the deadliest blizzard in Minnesota history raced across the state, killing 49.
I'm 80 years old now, and this is the first storm I've ever witnessed in this area. Never saw one like that again, and I hope I never do. My God. Oh.
Listen for a special report, The Winds of Hell, Friday on midday at 11, and on All Things Considered on Minnesota Public Radio.
I'm Catherine Lanfer. You're listening to Mid-Morning. Want to remind you that in the second half of Mid-Morning, we'll be continuing our conversation about this amazing presidential election with Calvin Gilson. He's professor and chair of the Department of Political Science and director of the Tower Center for Political Studies at Southern Methodist University in Texas. So we know that you have a lot to say about this election, this campaign. We'll continue that conversation. Meanwhile, we're continuing our conversation right now with Susan McManus. She is a professor of political science at the University of South Florida. She joins us by phone. Now, Susan McManus, I know that I remember when Jesse Ventura was elected governor here and suddenly Minnesota was under a lot of national scrutiny. And I'm curious to know, just tell us what it's like to be in Florida right now, and tell us what it's like to suddenly have this national spotlight on the way you do elections.
Well, puts a lot of pressure on you. Being in a fishbowl and under an intense microscope makes people extra cautious, and I think that caution is the word of the day in Florida. But from a personal perspective, I can tell you yesterday alone I did 51 interviews, and so it's like unbelievable. And, it's so interesting to see that it's of interest all over the world. I mean, I got calls from Japan and, all kinds of other places. It's just amazing.
And do you, the way people are characterizing Florida, the way they're characterizing how elections are done, is it striking you as fair? Is there something you want to tell us that maybe we wouldn't know unless we were also Floridians?
Well, one thing I think that is very important is to let the public know that the voting system that's under controversy down in Palm Beach County is a widely used voting system that's used all over the country, and that it's not something that's just some kind of backwoods type of balloting system that's only for that county. That's one of the largest counties in the state. It has huge numbers of Democrats and Republicans, have Democratic supervisor of elections. So I think it is important to put it in perspective that it's a system that's widely used. And of course, again, Floridians don't like the fact that some national media are projecting us down here as intentionally trying to bias an election. I mean, I think that's probably the most troubling thing to a Floridian.
Now, we also know that there have been people in Palm Beach County, there have been sort of spontaneous demonstrations of voters who feel that because of the way the ballot was configured, they were led to vote for the wrong person. What impact will those protests have?
Well, one thing you can be sure of is that it's a good lesson, and in the future there'll be massive efforts to make sure that the ballot format is not confusing.
We're going to go to Chandra in Minneapolis. Chandra, welcome to Mid-Morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. I was calling, basically. Hello?
Chandra, you're on the air. Just roll along, okay?
Okay, I was calling because when we think about the election in 4 years from now, the morale of people, these people who, especially in Palm Beach, say that they don't feel like they had an opportunity to vote for the right candidate, I think it would be a crime to not allow them to revote, because to me that's the Democratic way. And to think some young people, I think I heard some young people who seemed like they were very distraught that they end up voting for the wrong person. So what does that say for future elections if we have these votes not count, whether or not people will turn out in 4 years?
Professor McManus?
Well, she expresses an opinion that's, expressed by a lot of people, and that's one of the real challenges that our election officials are trying to deal with at this very moment.
We're going to go to David in St. Paul. David, welcome to Mid-Morning.
Good morning, Catherine. Good morning, Professor McManus. First of all, up front, in a situation like this, when we're talking to a single individual, I would like to know what political affiliation they might have, if any, and I don't know if you have a political affiliation. I think that we're really kidding ourselves if we think that we're going to know who the next president is by 5 o'clock this afternoon, Eastern Standard Time. I think that there is enough at work on the legal end of this, and there are enough questions, not so much about the ballot. I mean, certainly the ballot is a big question, but certainly the reports of ballot boxes and bags of ballots, which were not retrieved specifically in minority areas, which I think is why the NAACP has taken the action it has taken. We just heard a report in the last hour that Janet Reno is going to have this subject to an investigation. So we are at the beginning of a process. We're ending one process, and we're about to begin one. And I think that some cool heads are going to have to prevail. And you know, I'm sorry to say, you know, that it had to be Florida, but I think that, you know, I guess I'm one of those people who looks through the glass darkly more often than I perhaps should. But in this situation, I find it far more than coincidental that Mr. Bush's brother, Jeb, is the governor of the state. And whether or not Governor Bush, that is Jeb Bush, was behind any of this is irrelevant. There are enough people out there who may believe that this is what he wanted. And I'm sorry, but when you decide that you're not going to pick up ballots in minority areas, there seems to be a targeted effect to some of these improprieties. And I don't see how we can get around that, and I think that the lawyers are going to be looking very carefully at that. And I'm sorry that it had to happen to Florida. And if Florida had not been the last state we were considering, we never would have seen these things.
All right. David, let's let Professor McManus have a chance to respond.
I think he raises one point that is absolutely, you know, essential, and that is let cool heads prevail. And that's why, we have a bipartisan pledge on the part of the officials in our state that are in charge of the election process to carefully look at all this. And certainly the Attorney General, you know, she's made the statement that she will look at it. Right now, there are just all kinds of accusations being made here, there, and everywhere. And it does have to be a fair way of sorting out which of these are sort of just comments versus realities.
Let's take another quick call. We'll go to Jim in Andover. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Good morning. Yes, I just wanted to make a quick comment on the popular vote issue. With a popular vote separating Bush and Gore, about 200,000 people nationwide, and most of the states didn't count their absentee ballots because they weren't required to, you know, because of the closeness of the race, wouldn't have separated there individually. And Florida alone has about 650,000 votes. I think people are jumping to the conclusion that he won by the popular vote, when really the military could affect that issue significantly, since they historically vote about, 80% Republican.
Well, let me clarify that the absentee ballots in Florida have been counted. The only ones that have not would be some of the overseas ones that would be coming in between Election Day and 10 days after.
All
and
right.
Those would be military, and they would lean a bit Republican.
Professor McManus, we're actually going to release you in a minute or so, but I wanted to just hear from you one last time. What should we be looking for over the next few days?
Well, I think we have to look at the voices of the people who have the legal responsibility for making these calls, and then we'll have to go from there.
All right. Susan McManus, I know you're swamped, and I'm so glad you could join us. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Susan McManus is a professor of political science at the University of South Florida. We're going to be joined shortly by another Floridian political scientist. Meanwhile, we want to make sure that you have your opportunity to get in here to this conversation, a conversation, I might add, that will continue into the second half of Mid-Morning. It is 1-800-242-2828, 1-800-242-2828. Some of the late-breaking news that we have here, the Reform Party candidate Pat Buchanan said today that he believes most of the 3,407 votes he got in a Florida county, that's Palm Beach County we've been talking about, belonged to Vice President Al Gore, and that people had voted for him by mistake. I don't want any votes that I did not receive, and I don't want to win any votes by mistake, Buchanan told NBC's Today Show. Also, we mentioned this earlier, but wanted you to know that the NAACP has asked for a Justice Department investigation into what they call numerous election irregularities, and Attorney General Janet Reno has said that she would review a request for an investigation into the voting irregularities in the state of Florida. Of course, we're continuing our conversation about this amazing presidential presidential election, 1-800-242-2828. In the Twin Cities, it's 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. We're joined now by Michael Martinez. He's an associate professor of political science at the University of Florida. Professor, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, we'd like to just, we've been talking to Susan McManus from the University of South Florida. Would like to ask you, what is the latest as you know it in Florida?
As far as I understand, the recount is still underway. Several counties in Florida completed their recounts yesterday. Others are taking today to do it. My understanding was that the Secretary of State's office expected the recount to be completed this afternoon in all counties. A few counties that I heard of on the media this morning had showed that Governor Bush's lead was thinning out, that more votes had been found for Vice President Gore than for Governor Bush, and so the election night report of about 1,700 was actually down by a few hundred votes, so it appears to be getting closer. I don't know if that trend will continue. We don't know what the other counties are going to report yet. If it remains this close, it may be very well that we will have to wait another week or so until the overseas ballots, absentee ballots, arrive and can be counted.
I was just going to ask you, you know, when this thing will really be over. What about the possibilities of lawsuits? How does that tangle us up in time?
Well, I think the closeness of it, plus the fact that if it does happen, as I just described, that the precise state law is that if the number of expected absentee ballots from overseas exceeds the margin of victory in the recount, they have to wait for those in order to certify the final results. If that happens, really what that does is it gives potential voters and the Gore campaign a little more time to decide if they want to pursue legal remedies. I understand that several voters in Palm Beach County have already filed a civil action in circuit court in Palm Beach, and that's a state court, to request some relief. I believe one of the suits that I heard about did not specify the relief. I think there has been some talk in Palm Beach County of requesting a revote in that county.
What about those protests that have come up from some voters who are irate with what they think was a poorly configured ballot in Palm Beach? What impact will they have?
Well, several of them have already filed suit, and there's some contemplation of a class action suit on the part of those voters against the, I don't know, I guess it would probably be against the supervisor of elections in Palm Beach. I think it's important to say here that there's no substantial charges of voter fraud that's going on in this election. The concern is about whether the ballot design was confusing and in effect confused the will of the people who were trying to vote for Vice President Gore in that county. As I saw the results, they do appear to be very strange out of Palm Beach County. I mean, Pat Buchanan got 3,000 votes. There's also reports that many more thousands of votes in Palm Beach County were disqualified or thrown out because voters had chosen more than one candidate for an office, and most of those for the presidency. And that could have happened if a voter had initially mistakenly selected to vote for Pat Buchanan, realized his or her mistake, and goes back and tries to vote again for Gore and Lieberman. And that's obviously, obviously I or any other voter in Florida can't vote for two candidates for president. And that's a spoiled ballot. But that could indicate the size of the number of spoiled ballots in Palm Beach County, plus the unusually high support for Pat Buchanan in that county. And that just doesn't make any sense. That's a very Democratic county, and that there are other, Pat Buchanan didn't get anywhere near that number of votes in surrounding counties. The other counties where Buchanan actually did get, you know, like 1% of the vote were in a different region of the state, and the state is very divided geographically, politically. So, I mean, there's some substantial evidence of confusion on the part of a number of voters in Palm Beach County, which is, in fact, and the substantial evidence, I think, is exceeds the number of the margin of victory that that either Gore or Bush is likely to get in the recount.
Let's go to Mike. He's calling us from Eagan. Mike, welcome to Mid Morning.
Thank you, Catherine. Great show.
Thanks.
I think, however this shakes out, it's really brought a lot of people back into being interested in the electoral process. My comment is about the discussion that's probably going to ensue from here in terms of, it appears that President or Vice President Gore won the popular vote, while and it may turn out that Governor Bush wins the electoral vote, and ought not some of the electors to change their mind. My view is that the candidates expended their resources and created their strategies not to get the popular vote, but to get the electoral votes. And if the popular vote would have been something that they'd have been after, they would have run the races differently, and the popular vote might have turned out differently.
And so, yeah, actually, I think your caller's point is well taken. There is obviously there are concerns that if the Florida election results stand and Governor Bush gets our electoral votes, then then he will have won the Electoral College, but Vice President Gore would have won the popular vote. I actually think that the Vice President made an important statement yesterday when he said, although he was proud of carrying the popular vote, or his campaign said that they were proud that they carried the popular vote, that he understood and reinforced that it was the electoral vote that is our constitutional mechanism for selecting the president. So I think that was actually an important statement for him to make. The caller's point is well taken, that the electoral that the candidates did visit states like Florida and Wisconsin and Minnesota and Iowa in trying to get those states' electoral votes. Some people who have proposed abolishing the Electoral College in favor of a more democratic system, and i.e. one person, one vote, when you look at that, it raises the possibility that it would in fact cause candidates to be more focused on more limited geographic areas with huge populations. So theoretically, that candidates would make all of their appeals in New York and Los Angeles, or a great majority of their appeals, and lessen the likelihood that they would visit other states like Wisconsin and Florida that got a lot of attention.
Let's go to Jason in St. Paul. Jason, welcome to Mid-Morning.
Hi, Mike. I have two questions. One, what is the law of state in Florida about voiding the election as opposed to doing a revote? I personally think having a revote in one county determining the presidency doesn't make any sense. And our Constitution provides to, if you don't have an electoral majority, there's the alternative of going to the House.
I'm not an attorney, and so I'm not certain about the precedent for voiding an election. There was a Miami mayoral election that had a lot of controversy a few years ago that they had to cause a revote. I think the burden of proof or the standard is going to be very much on the plaintiffs here. The throwing out an election is a major, is certainly a major major undertaking. And any relief, there are some real time pressures on any relief. Remember, the presidential electors have to vote on December the 18th, and in our case, we would have to, know who those electors are so they can go to Tallahassee to vote by December the 18th. So any relief that would come in the form of a revote in either statewide, as your caller seems to suggest as a possibility, or in Palm Beach County would have to occur before December the 18th. With the time pressures on actually getting a hearing in a court and then, getting the decision implemented for supervisor or supervisors of elections to implement the election is there's some real time pressures there. And that's another thing that is arguing against any possibility that that such a revote would be mandated.
Let's go to Barbara in Minneapolis. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Hello. I have a question about the ballots that were discarded in Palm Beach County. I'd like to know what the typical percent of ballots are that are nullified or tossed out, and how does that compare to the 19,000 in Palm Beach?
I actually have not been able to find that out. I was curious about that myself. It turns out the Florida Division of Elections website server is so busy that, for understandable reasons, that I wasn't actually able to get those data. That is a very good question, and I don't know the answer to it.
Let's go to Jim in St. Paul. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
Hi.
I'm looking at the Palm Beach County ballot, the one that was on the Internet. And as I look at this, I find it hard to understand how someone could be confused on it. The arrow points directly to the circle that they are supposed to punch out for each respective candidate. A person can follow extremely simple directions. I don't see how they could miss on it.
The we have to remember here, most voters probably cast votes that were consistent with their intentions. The vast majority of votes that were cast in Palm Beach County were for Vice President Gore, and then Governor Bush got the second most in Palm Beach County, and that's what we would expect. There were some, I did hear some reports that on some ballots it was difficult for the for some voters to see the arrows that were pointing there. There were some reports from Palm Beach County that some voters were confused by the ballot because they were focused on the left side of the ballot, which in fact state law requires the ballot to be structured that way, that they were focused on the left side of the ballot and were confused, and they asked some of the poll workers and at their polling stations and got either ambiguous or misleading information from the poll workers there. I don't think that's, you know, intentionally fraudulent by the part of the people who were working at the polls, but some voters reported that they had gotten misleading information. Some voters reported that they had realized a mistake when they were in the voting place, that they made a mistake, and then asked for new ballots. Many of those voters got new ballots, as they were entitled to under Florida law, if they realized that they had made a mistake. Some voters reported that they didn't. The caller is right in that most voters could figure out how to vote and how to cast their votes according to their intentions. The question is whether there were a substantial number that were confused by the ballot itself. And there is some evidence that there is. If you look at the numbers of votes that Buchanan got in that county, it is highly unusual.
All right. Professor Martinez, I believe that we have run out of time. I want to thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me, and I appreciate your interest in Florida.
Okay. Political scientist at the University of Florida, Michael Martinez. We want to remind you that Florida Governor Jeb Bush is expected to offer an update on the progress of the Florida vote recount at about 12:15 p.m. Central Time today. We know that we'll be bringing you more on this story. I'm Catherine Landfer. You're listening to Mid-Morning.
Programming on Minnesota Public Radio is supported by Boston Scientific SciMed, based in Minnesota since 1971. 3,000 employees dedicated to creating innovative technologies to treat heart disease.
I'm Catherine Landfer. You're listening to Mid-Morning, and I do want to remind you that we will be talking more about